It can be quite the challenge to learn how to ride a bike. Watching my nieces and nephews transitioning from this small car with four wheels and being able to move around with their legs to a tricycle, then to a two-wheeler with the training wheels. All of that is not so bad. Gets to develop some of their motor skills. But then once you take the training wheels off, that's where it gets different. I'm sure when you and I were in that position, we were thinking, let me just go back to how it was. You know, why is this so different? All the other times, marked stability. That time, whoa, you got sea legs. What's great is we don't do that alone. We have maybe a sibling or our mom or our dad that's with us there so that we don't fall so many times. But as we do so, we kind of wonder and think, is this really what I want to do? Should I not just go back to what I was able to? After all, that's enough for me to go faster than running. Shouldn't that suffice? And I believe this is probably what the disciples, the apostles of Jesus Christ, had felt as Jesus ascended into heaven. As Catholics, we celebrate greatly the day of Christmas and the day of Easter. Christmas, as Jesus comes into the world, takes on flesh, so as to die for us. Easter, marking the day in which demonstrated to the whole world, at least with those who have hearts and minds to hear and to see, the indisputable fact that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, that as he rose from the dead, that he is the Son of God, he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Messiah that was foretold from the prophets of old. After his resurrection, he walked the earth for 40 days, making it undeniable that this is not a hoax. If he rose from the dead, and within a period of 24 hours left, I'm sure some would be wondering if it actually happened, if it was real, if it was perhaps an illusion. But for him to traverse the earth in 40 days to talk and to preach and to eat with them, impressed upon their minds and their hearts that this is the reality, that Jesus Christ is victorious over death. And after those 40 days, we hear he ascended to the Father. Why? Was he homesick? Was he tired of humanity? If he stayed, wouldn't his presence cause many more to follow? If he were to be here in the same way that he was after he rose from the dead, we can just imagine the amount of wondrous reactions and interactions that they would have with Jesus. Are you? Yup. Mm-hmm. You see the wounds? You see the? Do you need to see my side? No. I'm good. Blessed are those who don't see, right, but believe. I'm not going to be like Thomas. Yeah, but I have a lot of questions for you. We kind of think that, yeah, if Jesus would have done that, you know, wouldn't that save a lot of confusion? Wouldn't that be something far greater than what is currently going on now? It's a bit curious. So why did this happen? Jesus prepped his disciples from the 13th chapter of John to the 16th chapter of John of why this needed to happen and how inseparable it is to the Paschal mystery and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Theologian and doctor of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas, points to the Bible to explain the necessity of the ascension for our salvation. Jesus said in John 16:7, "But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go." That particular statement there is also curious. Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life always speaks the truth. Therefore, this emphasis addresses the wavering hearts of the disciples who's got to be thinking, there's no way that this is better. There's no way that Jesus ascending to the Father and leaving us in this way is better. Here are at least four reasons. Jesus says in John 14, 2-3, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be." We don't have an email or a phone number to call and make reservations to heaven. We don't say, hey, you know, at the age of 76, you know, I mentioned at the last, one of the last masses, and they got the guy startled and waking up because he was 76. But, you know, we don't call and say, hey, you know, when I'm 76, can you make reservations for me? Get things ready. Instead, Jesus says that he is taking that on, and how beautiful it is that it is the Lord who is doing that. We know how markedly different it is when, you know, we contact VRBO, a bed and breakfast, you know, something similar, and try to find a date that works for ourselves, family, to be able to go, and other places well furnished, and that is usually what they are able to provide for their customers. We know the difference between that and going and visiting friends and family, people who know our interests through and through. And so this is something that Jesus is saying that he will do. He's not saying that he's going to have St. Joseph take care of it. He's not saying that he's going to have St. Michael the Archangel take care of it, or one of the lesser known saints that everyone, you say, is that a saint? You know, Jesus is saying, I'm the one who will do it. I am the one who will prepare it. And I think we should take time to let that reality sink in, that here the King of Kings is taking on that of the role of a servant, preparing a place for us. As Jesus himself is the way to heaven, so it is fitting he is there. First reason. Second reason is for Jesus to intercede for us as the eternal high priest. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them." And in Hebrews 9:24, "For Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf." So quick recap, preparation for our stay in heaven, so he can intercede for us. Third, it was to grant gifts to the church, as explained by St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and following. "He ascended on high and took prisoners captive. He gave gifts to men. The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." And at the Last Supper in John 16:7, Jesus told his disciples, "If I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And we know it is by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost that we have the birth of the church into the world, and how it was that these fearful disciples were so emboldened to go forth and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, even at the expense of their own lives. So talk about power, talk about glory, things in which were not possible before. Lastly, in Mark 16:19, the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. He was to be with his Father. And this is something that reflects the very words of Christ Jesus to us, in which one day we hope to hear, that is, well done, my good and faithful servant, come and share your master's joy, that is to indicate that there is an end in our journey with the Lord, and that hopefully that end of the journey will lead in great gladness and tidings and rest and peace and joy and all the good things in which our hearts are yearning for and striving for on this earth. It is meant to say that even Jesus Christ himself is able to receive that. Now, being seated at the right hand of the Father is not to be taken in the literal physical sense. St. Thomas Aquinas explains this to mean that Jesus abides in the full unveiled glory of the divinity, unlike when he was on earth, that was veiled, and that full power of judgment is granted to him. So sitting at the Father's right hand belongs to Christ, Jesus, both as God and man. And lastly, we read in Hebrews 4:14-16, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. So ascension at least indicates those four things for us. That Jesus has gone to prepare our room, that he's there before our Heavenly Father interceding for us as the eternal High Priest, that his coming to heaven ushered forth the Pentecost, the birth of the Church, the gifts of the Holy Spirit outpoured upon his people, and how Jesus has taken his rightful place with the Father. To distill this even more, just into one thing, goes back to that analogy at the beginning, learning on how to ride a bicycle. You see, here we can think of that sibling or that mother or father who is with us as we're trying to learn how to ride a two-wheeler, that Jesus is present there like they would be for us to make sure that things go well. But eventually there comes to a point where Jesus has to withdraw. He withdraws not because he wants to distance himself from us. He withdraws to let us know that indeed by his grace we have the ability to do this. And I think sometimes, you know, in conversations with believers, you know, we simply want to express that wouldn't it be far easier for Jesus just to be here? When in fact Jesus has given us far more than he could simply by his presence alone. It comes from his very mouth. It's better that I go. And so in giving us these things, he's then letting us know that he wants us to wake up and wants us to realize that, you know, when we're feeling down and thinking that, you know, well, who am I? You know, we're forgetting our identity. We're forgetting who we are. We're forgetting the capabilities. We're forgetting the advocate, the Holy Spirit that God has given us. Now, it's not to say that, you know, this relationship with God is given to us de facto in the sense that everything in which we hear comes from God. You know, it requires discernment, it requires prayer, it requires an active pursuing of the life of God. But Jesus, in ascending to the Father, is letting us know that this is possible, that you can have this relationship with the Father, that you can hear his voice, that you can do the things in which he himself, as the Savior of the world, has done. Miracles, healings, having that expectant faith. And when we don't follow our Lord in this manner, in this way, and we leave it to others, We don't shortchange God as much as we shortchange ourselves. It's like us saying, yeah, I'd rather have the training wheels. I'd rather go back to the tricycle. You know, that's a little bit too much. And then we wonder why our faith is dull. We wonder why we're pursuing other things. You know, I'm going to give my attention and time to my work. I'm going to give my attention and time to these things that will probably affect the world and bring about a change. And we don't spend that same amount of time or greater amount of time in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I've tried that, I've tasted that, you know, after sampling it, that doesn't seem to be what will grant me happiness. And when we shortchange ourselves in that way, then it's no wonder that we say, well, you know, Jesus, why didn't you remain? Why didn't you stay? It's a doubt that Jesus knows what he's doing. And so it's a challenge. It's not easy. It's not for the faint-hearted. And there will be times that even as we've traversed this world and tried to exercise our faith, you know, we'll find those difficult moments where, you know, we regress or, you know, start thinking that, you know, perhaps God might not have this. And if God might not have this, then how can I have this? How can I keep going? How can I keep doing the ministry that God is calling me to do? The vocation in life that God is calling me to fulfill? And that's where it's so important that we come back to Jesus, that we come back to Scripture, that we come back to His words. You know, when we fill our hearts with the very Word of God, we fill ourselves with His truth. And when we fill ourselves with His truth, then it gives us that confidence, not this made-up confidence, but this confidence that brings us out of the depths of that despair. It lets us realize that indeed the Lord is with us, and if He is so triumphant over sin and death, and if He is so confident in us, then, you know, why have I allowed myself to shortchange my life? Part of the question is, do we love God enough? Or do we love God? Or are we just pursuing the faith for selfish reasons? You know, do we have some kind of ulterior motive? Do we have something else in mind of why we are practicing the faith, if we are truly practicing the faith? You know, it's got to be all in with God. And the beautiful thing is that as we do invest ourselves in Him, with Him in this way, you know, there's that greater presence, you know, of the Holy Spirit, you know, in our lives that makes us realize, it is so good, Jesus, that you went home to the Father. It is so good. Jesus ascended to the Father not simply for His own benefit, but far from it. It is more for ours. May we not squander this gift of grace that God has given us as we rejoice in our Lord's ascension into heaven.